Hey y'all, Paul and Adrian coming back at you for another episode of Big Facts No Cap, the only podcast that's number one with drinkers and deep philosophical thinkers.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
No cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap.
Big facts.
No.
Cap. Cap.
No cap.
All right.
All right, Adrian.
You didn't send me a text or give me a gift for our anniversary.
Is it our podiversary already?
Yeah, 5 years.
Wow. Longest relationship I've ever had.
Hey, come on now. Yeah, as of Wednesday, it's been 5 years. Feel old yet?
That does actually feel like insanity. We need to do season three soon. I think 5 years in, we got to hit season three.
Like for a big change or for another like just meme of like we're switching things up, but not really.
Yeah. The theme could be sophomore slump or something. We're getting out of it.
Ooh, into our slutty junior years.
Is that what junior years are known for?
I don't know. What was your junior year defined by?
Oh, you're right. I was a massive slut.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. You were skank.
I remember that was hot girl summer. I was really taken by that movement.
Ooh, that was a couple years
it
later.
It was not. I know. <That's> you. Sometimes you got to play around with the timeline a little, Adrian.
Yeah, I feel you.
Talking about playing around with the timeline, we're recording on a Friday night, which we don't ever really do because we're usually busy.
Yeah. We're trying to get caught up again, right? I think we're doing another episode, I guess, later this week.
Well, we could have recorded earlier this week. I pitched Friday because I wanted the theme to be drinking. And
so we're getting right into
like,
it.
That would really lend itself to us drinking a lot that night.
That's more of a Friday theme.
Yeah. It's more of a Friday theme.
Yeah. I feel that.
But I'm going to go ahead and let the audience in on the third segment since it's something that's going to be happening throughout the show, which is Paul and Adrian have created a bingo card of things that we believe the other person habitually does, or that may happen in this episode of Big Facts No Cap about drinking. Every time we hit on one of our spots, which we are keeping them secret from each other, we both have a 5x5 board, the other person has to take a drink.
Sounds fun.
What happens, first person to bingo wins, I guess? Do we keep drinking after that?
Yeah, I think so. We can do whoever gets bingo first wins. You can announce it. You can also announce when you're taking a shot, but you don't have to announce what the thing was. You can explain it later during the actual third segment discussion.
Oh, I thought we would announce what it was, and the other person takes a shot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, that works. All right, cool. I'm glad we established the rules.
Half shots is what we're doing. I don't know how many of these we're actually going to hit, but that felt like a more sustainable move.
Paul said a 3x3 board is for losers, so we have to do 5x5 and get absolutely wrecked.
A 3x3 board, man. Come on. What are we doing? Playing the bingo grandmas would mock us.
Oh, yeah. Our biggest demographic and our biggest bullies.
They do listen. Mm-hmm. What else do they have going on? So what are you going to be taking a shot of? I have some Kirkland brand tequila blanco.
Ooh, you're going to use up a lot of limes and salt. I have some Svedka vodka that I overpaid for because I went to the liquor store near Pearson, Nicole's, and the Burbs. It was $20, which is like, I think these are like 13 maybe at like other liquor stores.
Not to get into the theme too early, but just talking about drinking, DC is a place where Costco carries in the store the liquor. So they have like an incredible selection. They have like two aisles of like Kirkland based stuff and then like really nice stuff as well.
But also the Kirkland stuff's supposed to be pretty good, right?
Yeah. I think it's like you get the Kirkland stuff to like fill out for like, oh, I might need this at some point in the next year, but then you can get yourself like a nice whiskey or something. Oh wait, Isabel's calling me. She probably doesn't have
First shot for Paul. Getting a call from Isabel.
Is that true? Goddamn.
No, I'm just kidding. That's not true. And I'll just fill up this airtime by talking to the listeners. Thank you guys for being loyal listeners for 5 years. I know everyone's been listening since episode one. We appreciate you. We love you. And thanks for being along for the ride to 5 more years. Here.
Okay, was one of yours really that, Isabel?
No, wasn't real. No.
Oh, I should've, God damn it.
There's going to be a lot of like an afterthought. I should have done that.
What were we talking about?
Oh, you were talking about how in DC the Costco has a big liquor aisle.
Oh, yeah. I just think it's nice. There's a lot of good stuff there.
Do you want to do pre-theme talk before we get into more stuff about drinking?
Yeah, yeah. What have you been up to?
I just got into cat-sitting the old kittens again.
Oh, take a shot. You mentioned the cats.
Oh, is that the thing I usually do?
No, but I knew you were going to be at Pearson Nicole's.
Well, that feels targeted, but okay, whatever. Let's see.
Ooh, take a... I don't know how unfair this is going to feel to you that some of mine stack, but Adrian cries foul about one of my blocks with another.
Did I cry foul? Was I scandalized
by it? Yeah,
you said
that feels targeted.
That's crying a foul?
You cried foul. Okay. I don't know what to tell you.
I guess I'll take
now you're crying foul again.
Yeah, but they don't double up.
They don't double up, but I'm just saying.
It's going to be a long night. Yeah, so I've been there. I just been at Pearson Nicole's in the burbs. Went to Chili's yesterday. You know how it is when you're around here. I've got like a few couple spots that I actually like out here.
Pearson Nicole mentioned or referenced. Pearson Nicole Spencer Pinnock Marshall referenced.
Wait, what? That's one square?
Yeah. Obviously, I wasn't going to make that many squares.
You might as well have. This is some real biggity BS. Adrian does a media roundup. All right, I'll go ahead and fucking take the shot for that, I guess. All right, where are we at? So did your brother leave us our latest review? We have a new review.
Oh, nice, maybe.
So this is Hot Takes Big Laughs from I Don't Remember 3 from Saturday.
Oh, I Don't Remember 3, yeah.
Oh, you know his handle? That's his signature handle?
That was
handle?
My handle for the longest time because I inherited his Xbox. So my Xbox Live handle was I Don't Remember 3.
Absolutely hilarious and surprisingly insightful, Paul and Adrian take ridiculous questions and turn them into must-hear advice with just the right mix of chaos and charm. It's like eavesdropping on your smartest dumb friends. Can't recommend it enough.
Aw. Well, that's little the review. Sweetest thing he's ever said to me.
Wow. That's sad.
Yeah, not true.
I want to recommend Common Side Effects. I binged that while I was sick last week, and it was very good. It's only 10 episodes, so check it out. It's the same guy who did Scavenger's Reign, which I think is what I'm going to watch next. But it's an Adult Swim TV show about a guy who finds the cure for every disease being targeted by the DEA and pharmaceutical reps. But it's not as serious as... Well, it is a little bit as serious as it sounds, but it's a fun little romp. Yeah, what have you been up to?
You know, I didn't really have a media roundup, but I'm trying to think of something to talk about in case you had a square based on my media roundup. I don't want to make you lose out on that too early.
I don't. You're fine.
Yeah, no, I don't have much to discuss.
All right. I guess we're going straight into the theme then, or was there any other...
It was my brain where it's like full of paranoia, because I was also... One of mine was going to be Adrian has nothing to talk about on media roundup. So I was like, wait, what if that's Adrian's box?
Ooh, for you? Bingo?
Yeah.
No, I usually have at least one thing.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, you watch a lot of movies.
Cool. Yeah, what are we talking about now?
Drinking, I guess, the theme.
We don't want to do a shout-out to Zoran.
Oh, yeah. He's bumping up our DSA numbers. That's cool. Hopefully you don't disappoint us. You don't need our approval, but
I really
just saying,
don't think he will. He is. It's not like he's a fire breathing radical, so I don't think he's going to be like the most lefty person of all time. But I don't.
He's definitely willing to stand his ground, though.
He's willing to stand his ground. He didn't like buckle to the weird fake anti-Semitism accusations, and he seems like really thoughtful about it. I think he is very far left of the Democratic Party, not as far left as maybe some of the most radical, like, lefty people can be, but, like, I think where he stands, he's very confident about that, and that is truly who he is, which is very appreciated.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything else about that, or see how that goes? We like to celebrate left victories on this pod, but they don't always pan out.
Yeah. What can you do? But this is a jovial episode. We're drinking, buddy. Come on now.
Yeah. Get our drink on.
What are you drinking? I made like a soju mule.
Ooh. Would you believe me if I told you that was exactly what was on my... I'm going to keep doing this bit the entire time. I have a green apple White Claw, which I really hate green apple as a flavor, but it's what's in the fridge.
You know, something that I was thinking about putting on my bingo card and I didn't was I was going to see if, because this episode was about drinking, if you mentioned ABC, Adrian's Beer Corner, a segment we have not brought into this podcast in a long time.
RIP ABC. It's easy as 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I don't know. It didn't seem like it was for anybody. It seemed like it was really for me. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's how I would define this podcast.
I think enough people like the pod that I can say that it's not totally vanity, but like I think that specific segment just wasn't really for anybody. Pierce is going to drink whatever Pilsner they make anyways. He's not going to get whatever, like, you know, IPA I got.
Which I respect. I've started doing that. I just order a lager on most just whatever 5%
beer that's they like have.
No, lagers, because that tastes best with food most of the time.
Oh, really? I'm more of a Pilsner. Pierce is a Pilsner guy, and I think that's a good move. A lager or a Pilsner. Move.
Both of them kind of hit that for me. Of, I think good that's with a meal.
The original is like Pilsner or Kel. You can find, like, Trader Joe's had it, and that is a damn good Pilsner if you ever see that around. It's a Czech Pilsner.
When I was at that Loatian restaurant, they had a, I want to say, a Thai beer called Senga. And I think I'm going to...
Singha, like, yeah.
Singha, yeah. I think I'm going to start buying that. That is just such a, like, light, smooth, like, drink and beer.
Oh, I mean, I've said before, dude, Sapporo makes some of the best beer, like, mass-produced beer ever. I think that and Asahi are both really good. I forgot, since you have to drink when you do something now, I forgot. I was going to do this as a third segment roundup in the end, but I do have an X for you. I do have... Paul posts an episode without Adrian's sign-off. So that's one X that I forgot to bring up earlier.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I just forgot. I leave anything in you wanted cut out?
No, I just forgot to text you. But I woke up and saw the episode was out, and I was like, damn it, Paul. What if I had said something crazy? I'm kind of starting to mellow out now that I'm drinking my first drink. But, dude, I was zooted off of Vietnamese coffee before this. They mentioned that the large had 4 shots and the regular had 2. And I was like, oh, I've had like a double shot thing before. I'll get one of those. And I don't know why. It just like hit me like a fucking...
We're talking about drinking alcohol, baby. Come on now.
Yeah, sorry. Well, I'm talking about how the alcohol is bringing me down from drinking caffeine, which I still sometimes get a big reaction to.
Do you ever ask for an extra espresso in a drink and you're like, wait, but if it comes with 2, does that mean you're going to add 2 more?
Some places pour doubles, some places pour singles. Yeah.
Anytime you have to do too much extra talking, you feel like you're being rude and being like one of those customers. So half the time I just don't order it because I don't want to ask.
Sometimes, yeah, it does feel like you're about to make a decision that ruins your day.
Oh, no. For me, it's like, if I'm going to pay the extra, like, dollar surcharge, I want
like
it to
50
be
cents.
Two
oh,
doubles.
You want to get your money's worth.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I don't want, like, a double.
Well, you
got
to go to a gay coffee shop. They always pour doubles.
Is that a pun that I don't get?
No, it's just most gay bars usually pour doubles.
Oh, I was talking about espresso shots, but okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because usually alcohol is something where you want your money's worth. No, don't worry about it. It was all connected.
I don't get
it was
it,
all
man.
Connected in a big web.
Everybody else got it.
But, yeah. Was I there for the first time that you drank, or did you drink with someone else for the first time? We've definitely told these stories.
Oh, I drank a lot
pod,
before,
right?
I knew you. Or we hung out.
I met you when we were in elementary school.
Oh, before we hung
crazy.
Out.
Crazy. Oh, okay. I was about to say, yo.
I do feel like, I don't know, I was always a big proponent of drinking in, like, a very, like, weed-based nerd friend group.
As a social lubricant, or, like, as in, like, an alternative to just getting high?
Yeah, just as, like, I thought drinking was more fun.
I did, too. And, honestly, as almost accessible as weed, maybe more, I can't remember. Maybe it, like, ebbed and flowed.
Maybe that's why me and you became friends, was because we hit that same note, whereas other people...
Yeah. I mean, I thought about quitting weed way before I thought about quitting drinking. Like, we were still in high school when I was like, I'm thinking about not
it's
smoking
not
anymore.
It's not that great. Yeah.
Yeah. It's highly variable. I don't always
sometimes
have a fun time.
Sometimes you just
time.
Have the worst time ever.
We get into super sketch situations.
You're always a little terrified, yeah.
Yeah. So wait, what was your first time then? Have you told the story before?
Oh, I think like my first time getting drunk was, there was my cousin's wedding in Lebanon where I remember like, but I was drunk off like 3 beers because, you know, obviously I didn't drink that much before. But in high school, I don't know. I feel like freshman year, maybe just hanging out with some friends. Once I started like, I don't know, hanging out with Hunter and you, and Hunter's brother would buy us alcohol.
Well, also his mom. His mom was a big, as long as you do it in our house type
it
person.
It became a lot more accessible, and those were probably my earliest, like, really fun drinking memories.
Yeah, did it ever not really connect to you what the exact rules at Hunter's house were? Because sometimes Hunter would be weird about us smoking when, like, they got home, and I'd be like, don't they know? And or, like, not care? Like, I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean... Cut it.
In quotation marks.
I thought that might be in there.
The first time I drank was with some people from theater class. I got invited to, I think, one of my friend's parents, either were staying in a condo while their new house was being built, or maybe they were divorced or something, I don't know. But they were pretty well off. And they were gone for the weekend, so he invited me and a couple of other friends to drink at his place. And I remember being absolutely terrified of drinking until I took that first gummy soaked in vodka, and I was like, ooh, this feels kind of cool.
Yeah, I remember one of the early times I was drinking.
Is this going to be like that episode of BoJack Horseman where we find out that the first time you drank was actually earlier and earlier each time, and so we get back to you drinking way more before you met me in elementary school?
One of the times was with our aforementioned mutual friend Hunter, who we got up to a lot of our bad behavior with in high school. He soaked a watermelon in vodka, and I don't think you were there for this. That was before we really
Everybody did a lot of that, yeah.
But I remember him taking a bite of it and going, oh my god, this tastes like asshole. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I take a bite, and all I could think was, no, he was right. That's exactly what I imagine.
Damn,
asshole tastes like if I have to imagine. So I wasn't as, that wasn't as good as your gummy bears were. That was a real failed experiment.
Yeah, it definitely took me a little bit to actually like it. I mean, I remember when I was going over to my cousin's place once, he was drinking like a Bud Light out of a mug in the middle of the day. And he was the kind of uncle who was like, oh, or I think he was technically a cousin, actually. He was like, if you want to take a sip, you can. And I was like 11 or something, and I tried it, and I was like, this is so gross. I can't believe adults do this. I'm never going to do this.
I'm trying to think, what else? Drinking. Okay, so moving away from our early drinking experiences.
Yeah.
Did you have phases? Because like, I feel like everybody goes through like, oh, I'm trying to drink this, or I'm trying to... I'm sure you did. I obviously know this. Everybody has these phases, but like... I remember, like, an early good beer I had was, like, the, you gave me freshman year of college, like, a left-hand milk stout. And I was like, oh, this is really tasty. Like, beer can be so good if it's different
that,
than just, like, a
Duck
normal.
The Duck Rabbit, the Highlands. Yeah.
So I think I tried to drink nicer beers for a while, but, like, I don't know. By the time I, like, graduated college, I was kind of on the, like, man, nicer beers are just a lot of... liquid in your stomach, and they sometimes have wild ingredients in them, and it's just like, it's not actually the most pleasurable way to get drunk if you're...
Yeah, I definitely got sold on the Yingling myth that beer was like a step up above all the other beers you can get out of a convenience store, which non-shout out to them for being big Trumpers, but I think Stone IPA when I was working at Trader Joe's was like the turning point for me of being like, oh, this is so much better than like the Heineken or whatever that Alberto used to buy us at Tokyo Grill at the end of our shifts or whatever. When I used to drink with Phil at our job at Tokyo Grill, the chef Alberto would buy us alcohol from the Rite Aid next door. I think it was in Eckerd's at that time. But Phil didn't start drinking beer until like I think our sophomore year. But he was a Smirnoff Ice Angry Orchard dude for a very long time. And a big part of my drinking has always been carb control. So, like, a lot of times I've ebbed and flowed on what I drink based on how many carbs are in a drink, which, you know, even doctors will give you, like, a sheet that says, if you want to do a low-carb diet, here are the alcohol drinks you can drink, and it's just hard liquor. And I think it's way worse for you. I don't recommend it, even as we're taking shots right now. But there have definitely been times where, for, like, carb reasons, I just drink hard liquor.
Damn it, I did not think to put Adrian does a diabetes story on my grid.
That's an easy one. That's such an easy one to do. Okay, Paul regrets not putting something on his... But yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, I've gone through phases of drinking craft beer, always wanting to try something new, going to breweries to like now like a Coors Light or a PBR is like by far one of the most common things I order. And of course, everyone knows my favorite cocktail.
Which is? Wait, have you...
You know it.
Have you said it before?
Yeah, multiple times. I think even Dora Lee knows.
Oh, not a Paloma. You're a, what is that
grapefruit?
Drink?
Grapefruit? I take too many medications. Yeah, you know what it is. It's a Negroni.
Negroni.
Okay. Hold up. Oh, Paul needs Adrian to tell him what or who he's thinking of.
The audience might not even know that one because I usually just cut it out.
That's true. I think sometimes there's enough left in that I think people know. Either that or like sometimes I think about if we ever got big and we had to do a live episode, people would realize how much like dead air and like bullshit there is. And like it really, I don't know if other podcasts are like this, if they really do go for like an hour and cut it down to like 55 minutes. But ours is like we go for an hour and cut it to 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's because we don't prep too much beforehand. We kind of prep on the fly about what we're going to talk about. I think other podcasts are a little smarter of being like, we're going to hit this news story, we're going to hit this news mm-hmm. story, this thing.
I have my script, you guys just come in with funny jokes or whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, what were you going to say before I talked about Negroni, my favorite?
Once I got a job, I tried to like fill out a bar and start making cocktails. I think I've tried to get into that multiple times, but I end up just drinking the liquors straight.
I tried to do that for a while when I was living alone my junior year. And I remember my friend Cam at work made fun of me because, like, when you look up drinks that you can make with the most common liqueurs or liquors, it really is like this, and orange juice and grenadine or something like that. And he was like, oh, you're making like basic girl like drinks or whatever. And I was like, I'm just making the things that I can find for the recipes yeah. that I have for the ingredients that I have. And then my senior year of college, I had an animal themed bar. And that was my thing, is I had only liquors that had animals on them.
That's so corny.
Grey Goose, Copper Horse was a local gin to Columbia. Kraken, I technically put in there. Something like Striped Pig Rum or something like that. Yeah, yeah. They were like, yeah, at an animal themed bar.
Yeah, Bigfoot's an animal.
Yeah, yeah. That was when Justin's dad came to our house once because we were living together, and his comment was, Grey Goose, just fill that with cheaper vodka when you're done with it. And I was like, that's how that guy's rich. That guy knows the secrets.
That's how he's rich. He did that for so many years.
He knew not to get avocado toast.
He saved money to the point that he became wealthy. Yeah,
He saved money to the point that he became wealthy. Yeah, you got it.
he was working as a window washer that whole time.
He was working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. Oh, do you have Adrian
breaks
in the song?
Out into song.
Yeah, nice.
That was what I said to Phil. Did he tell you, or you just knew I had that?
No, I know that about myself. Some of my stuff doesn't happen until we get into articles, so I think you might be in for something later. Have you ever dated a partner who doesn't drink, or have you ever been on a date with someone who doesn't drink and you're the only one drinking?
Oh, yeah. I've never dated anybody who doesn't drink, but yeah, I've been on
dates. But you've been on a date where?
Yeah, okay. The person was like, I don't drink. And I was
interesting.
Ooh, like, how am I going to, if you don't drink, how am I going to gather the courage to go in for a kiss? This is just...
Ooh. Wait, that meant you couldn't drink too? Like, were they recovering?
No, it feels rude, kind of, to like order three or four drinks.
I asked that question during a date once or before a date, and the person said, no, it just gives me headaches. I don't have like a thing around it. You can drink if you want to, and we can meet at a bar.
But it still feels trashy to have too many drinks if the other person isn't.
Well, I had two beers, but also,
okay.
That was one of those things where I think one of the sweetest, cutest things I ever saw on a Hinge profile was someone being like, I don't drink, but I don't care if you do. I'll be your DD. I just want you to get home safe.
Aw.
Yeah. Corny. And I was like, oh, I'm definitely swiping on that person. They're adorable.
I worry that, and this is probably me putting it on the other people. It's like that thing where people just get upset at vegetarians because they think they're judging them.
But you're dating a vegetarian, yeah.
Yeah. I don't do that, but I'm saying I think it comes from the same place where sometimes if somebody doesn't drink, I kind of worry they're judging me for drinking, or they think.
Maybe. Yeah, yeah, maybe. That's probably not totally untrue. Especially if they quit. If they were, like, never a drinker, then they might be... Actually, it might go both ways. They might be judgmental if they were never a drinker because they don't know what it's like to do embarrassing things while you're drunk. But it might also be someone who quit and is now like, oh, thank God I'm sober. I don't act like this.
Oh, man, it's so true. Being sober around a drunk person is one of the worst experiences in the world. They are the
being sober around... I mean, we already made this comparison, but around being a high person is also incredibly enlightening.
Yeah, it's like, oh, these people are just stupid right now. This is not a good thing to do to yourself. These are obnoxious people who I don't want to be around. It only works if you're both drunk.
When you're on the same level, it really works. It hits so hard.
Oh, it's incredibly. Best friendships of your life are...
Yeah.
Cultivated that way.
It's a very I don't know, I guess like you can tackle alcohol from so many different directions of like health and like what we currently know about it, but there's also like the anthropological, like it has bound communities together for so long. It's almost
the social cohesion makes it healthier than not.
Well,
drinking.
That's probably I think people would call that a toxic way of thinking about it, but there is something to the idea that like this has been a very important part of human history for some amount of time. Curbing boredom, curbing social anxiety, building group cohesion. I don't know. There's probably something to it.
That was part of the Smoke and Ashes book I read by Amitav Ghosh, which was like, that was a book about...
Paul mentions Amitav Ghosh.
That was a... that book was about like the opium trade, and a big part of his thing was like, yes, a lot of like British society would be like, oh, opium to them is like drinking to us, that's why it's not immoral for us to like sell them massive amounts of opium. And he was like, to dispel that, it is absolutely not the same thing. Like, drinking has been built into our culture for since time immemorial. We have like social systems for dealing with over drinking. People know what over drinking is. Opium was like dropping a nuke on China. Like, they had no social systems for dealing with that sort of addiction, so it just like ran through society and again,
some people would critique the ingrained nature of alcohol in our culture for sure.
But it definitely has been, right? Like, there's like ancient Egyptian stone tablets we've found where it's like, we know it was like heavily regulated, the government taxed it. Like, it has been a part of our society since like really the earliest we know of our society existing. So it's definitely has like, I don't know, a lot more structure around it and what's appropriate and not appropriate.
Yeah, which is interesting because that's almost the answer to that annoying Reddit question of like, why is it drugs and alcohol? Hello, alcohol's a drug?
Yeah. It's
it's like, no, it is a little bit different though. You're almost 30. Have you thought about changing your relationship with alcohol at all?
It's happened naturally. I just drink a lot less. Like, I can't handle it as well and as often. Also, I'm on a diet right now, and it really is like the number one thing that you can just cut out for weight loss.
It's a lot of calories. Yeah. That's that great scene in Parks and Rec where Chris Pratt is losing weight in Parks and Rec for Guardians of the Galaxy. And at one point, they met a comment on it in the show where they're like, wait, you just stopped drinking? And he was like, yeah. How much did you stop? Were you drinking a lot? Yeah. I was drinking like 9 beers a day.
Yeah, I think the exact comment was, oh, yeah, I just cut out beer. They're like, just beer.
Yeah. Just beer? And he's like, how much were you drinking? A lot. Do you have friends that only hang out if you're drinking, and or do you have friends who like things better when there's an option to drink while you're doing it?
No, I'm not friends with Pierce.
Well, I was going to say that, but I was also going to say one of my friends in DSA is also very big on like, oh, let's host this event. We can have a movie night. We should ask the place if they're okay with people bringing beer because we're going to want people to drink. And like, some of the younger Gen Zers are like, oh, well, maybe we should have the option not to drink. And he's like, well, the option to not drink is there, but we should have the option to drink if like, it brings people together. And like, it is one of those things where there's a cultural divide where the much older guy who's like, yeah, we should have beers there. And like, the younger people are like, no, we don't need that. We can just get together and watch a movie about fascism or whatever. And it's
there,
like,
there's a lot of articles about that nowadays that younger people are like against drinking.
The Puritans.
It's kind of like becoming, I don't know, the FT has ran like 50 articles on this the last year. They're really on this tip, but they are, oh, you, for health reasons, alcohol is it the new tobacco? Is like, are like people over it? Is the drink sector like gonna tank?
Paul repeats the same thing three times or more.
You motherfucker.
You've done twice, multiple times in this episode, but you did the, and I was like, boom, three times, let's go.
My stutter? That's what we're attacking now?
Is that a stutter? I was just saying, that's just you, not your brain catching up to your mouth. Which I guess is what a stutter is. Am I doing an ableism? But yeah, what are you talking about, the Puritans?
Yeah, seems like a thing.
It is, definitely. Like, I think it is a statistically proven thing that Gen Zers are showing.
In your life?
But I don't know. It's mostly online stuff. But I will say, one of the theories that I heard about this from a local business owner is that today's teens have grown up with parents that did their birthdays and did hangouts and did other stuff at breweries where little kids got to be around a bunch of drunk adults. And that's what led them to not want to drink anymore. And I don't know if that is a complete explanation of the phenomenon, but I know that's my dad's reason. My dad was a bartender when he was like 13,
Adrian
14.
Adrian mentions Dorley, Nando, or parents.
Wait, you're attacking the fact that I'm a family man? That's the issue? Anyways, my dad was a bartender when he was like 13, 14 years old in
also,
Guatemala.
Also, that was totally a leading question on my end when I was like, who in your life is a Puritan? I was like, mention Dorley, motherfucker.
No, I'm not going to mention her yet. She is. She used to cry when my parents thank God you don't have Adrian tells an old story. She used to cry when my mom would drink.
Didn't you tell that story? That's on my, didn't you tell that story? Is on my
Okay. Wait, for me to say, didn't you tell that story?
Yeah, either of us. Either for you to call me out on it or you to say it about yourself.
Okay. Yeah. My dad was a bartender in Guatemala when he was 13 or 14. And so he, but that was my dad's reasoning for not ever really being into alcohol was like, I saw too young what it does to adults and I didn't like it.
Mm. I thought your dad was a bartender.
That was part of the story. What do you, I just said that. God, I wish I had put Paul doesn't listen on here. That would have been a surefire one.
Oh, also, I forgot to call you out on this one, but something on Adrian's board feels like a personal attack on my triple stutter.
Oh, okay. Damn it. How's that a personal attack? All of these are about you. All of these are personal. What, you thought all of mine were going to be an attack on society?
Yeah, but that one made me feel injustice? Bad, so it was personal. I'm now one away from bingo.
Oh, I'm already one away from bingo, too.
Damn, and this one's a little bit,
yeah, the one that I have is a little bit hard to judge, though. What about drinking games?
I'm trying to remember. That was so college that it's been a while, but there was this one I learned right after college from people I worked with that was like you would spin a nickel on a pizza board and you'd have like these circles.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Oh, no, I played with you where you do a flip onto the pizza board.
Oh, yeah, that's how it works. Yeah. And it's like you have where it lands, if there's nothing there, you put a circle around it on the piece of cardboard.
And then do another rule or something? Or like you write a rule in it?
And if somebody lands on that spot or doesn't do a rule, they drink. Or if they... I can't remember the exact rules of it, but that was really fun. There's the really lazy ones.
Really relies on you getting pizza.
There's the really lazy ones where you're just like flicking a tab on the drink. Obviously, like the fun
King's
ones.
Cup? Are, or no, that's the one. King's Cup is where you put the cards in to
take the tab off. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. But then there's a flicking one when I don't remember how it goes. But then obviously Flip Cup,
Beer Pong, Ring of Death.
Beer Pong, yeah.
I played a lot of those in grad school, actually. But I guess I'm basically in extended college, so, you know, no wonder I still play some of those games every now and then. It is annoying, because grad school is enough of a thing where Adrian mentions grad school, drink.
I was thinking of putting that on there, but I didn't.
It's so many fucking nerds that you do have to, explain drinking games to people.
Oh, wait, for the Holocaust joke you made earlier about my board, Adrian attempts to cancel or make something offensive.
Wait, what? How is that? Okay, yeah, that's true. All right. Sometimes you do have to explain drinking games to nerds in grad school who never partied when they were kids.
And they're like, am I allowed to do it with apple juice?
Paul supports big apple juice.
I love that Adrian attempts to cancel me worked.
I mean, that's an ongoing joke from the pod, is that we do that to each other.
Fair.
Yeah. All right, do you want to get into an article, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, I'm good with getting into an article. Honestly, right. We could have done full shots. I'm not nearly as drunk as I thought I would be this far into the game.
I've got one, two. You've taken two shots. How many shots have I taken?
Two, three, four.
Oh, so two shots.
Oh, no. Four shots total. Eight.
Oh, you already
shots.
Have eight things on the board?
Yeah.
What the hell? I'm about to say, I'm definitely feeling it. What was I going to say? Oh, did we have any final thoughts on drinking?
It's a ball, man. I don't know.
It's fun. It's definitely, when I turned 30, I definitely had a big contemplation about what I want to do about drinking. I mean, I read, or I listened to on audiobook when I was going on hikes, Alan Carr's The Easy Way to Quit Drinking, which is, he does an easy way for every vice, even everything down to sugar. But it was the way that Paul F. Tompkins quit smoking. So I was like, yeah, I'll give this book a listen. And it definitely helped a lot. And then I went on vacation and kind of went back to old ways. But yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't be, I would not say be surprised if in 6 months from now, I'm like, yeah, I'm basically trying to be sober or not. But I might go for a little bit longer. Who knows?
I don't know. I think it would be good for you probably.
I've thought about it for sure. Yeah. Especially the older I get.
It would be nice to have an Adrian that doesn't have to go full AA so that we could still binge drink once in a while, but...
This is the same conversation we had about weed when I wanted to quit weed, is you were like, come on now, don't be that lame. At least do smoke a little bit of weed.
Is that a conversation? Am I a bad person? Am I a bad influence?
No, I don't think... No. Anything around that is reflecting on me as a person, not you. But yes, there was a time where I wanted to quit weed, because I was overeating and it was affecting my diabetes. And you were like, come on now, you can eat whatever. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just keep smoking weed with us. It's fun.
That makes me definitely sound like a bad person. That's so funny.
All right, we'll cut out most of this. This is too serious, but yeah.
We couldn't do it before because I was the one, but cut it is, I was the one who said it before, but that's you this time, which does
I said,
means that I have bingo.
So Adrian says cut it, now I have to take a shot. All right, whose article are you doing first?
Do you want to see the rest of them? Are you going to keep drinking if you hit more?
Oh, yeah, I will. I think the third segment is us going through all the other
Okay, cool
stuff. Yeah. All right, do you want to go first or second?
Sure, I'll go first.
Oh, I should have put Paul takes the shorter half.
Oh, you could go first. Wait, this would be the longer half.
It's 51 minutes and we're about to do an article.
Then you go first then. If this is going to be the shorter half, you go first.
What? I wasn't calling you out.
No. I want you to go. Okay. I want you to go.
All right. I'll do the first. All right. Honestly, I probably need the reading abilities right now. All right. The cut. We haven't brought in the cut since like episode 7 when we did like a episode about marriage.
Oh, yeah. And we hated it so much. We just kind of were like.
We hated the answer so much and we hated how much writing there was to say bullshit that we stopped using them. But I'm bringing her back in. It's not Heather Haverlisky. It's Allison Green. Good. Wait, isn't Allison Green Ask a Manager?
Yeah. Let's Ask a Manager.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so the cut brought in Allison Green. Okay, cool. So
I remember
the cut.
Heather Haverlisky, after we roasted her on that episode so much, she like became the Twitter villain for a day for like a really annoying bad
Twitter
article she wrote.
Twitter villain of the day. Yeah.
Oh, it's Twitter villain of the day on your board.
No, just I think ContraPoints talked about that at one point during her cancellation video where I was like, yeah, I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know the villain of the day, but I do like that as a concept that anyone you know can get it. Okay, so this is
Although
I hate my
usually
boss.
Not a cancellation. That's usually like a very specific community getting upset at
no,
you.
No, it's
for
like
a
but
day.
Like dog piled on in a way that you sometimes some people aren't equipped to handle.
I don't think it was that bad for Heather. I think she just had an article that people were like, this is some bullshit.
I think a lot of people can't handle criticism as well as you know, we're not prepped for that kind of
thing.
It's
different. She wasn't being dead, you know what I'm saying? She wasn't wildly mocked.
You say teabagged?
Bean dad.
Okay.
You don't know
Bean dad?
Yeah.
I know Bean dad. Okay. I hate my boss's mandatory Zoom happy hours. So I guess this is just Allison Green, but do prepare for a long piece of writing for both the answer and the question.
Hey, maybe they brought her in special because it was a managerial question.
Dear boss, I'm in my first job after graduating last year, and will be working from home for the foreseeable future. Unfortunately, this means my boss has taken it upon himself to organize quote-unquote happy hours outside of work hours. These aren't really happy hours. They're more work meetings with alcohol on Zoom. And while their frame is not technically obligatory, they definitely are. And I get pointed comments if I choose to not attend. My manager will bring them up in team meetings saying, oh, you're not busy because you're all in lockdown, haha, and then expect us all to show up. The thing is, he's right. I'm not busy in the traditional sense, but what I am busy doing is decompressing from work, cooking, doing chores, trying to organize my life, exercising, calling my long-distance partner, writing fiction, and also just lying on my bed, eating chips and staring at the glow of my phone screen while trying to not think about doom and gloom. I understand the value of showing my face at these meetings, and if they were truly optional, I'd show up once a month or so, but I hate the expectation that every other Thursday, from 5 to 7:30 p.m., you're going to be in a work call that's outside of business hours so we can drink, but also talk about work. No one drinks more than a glass of wine at these, by the way. I wouldn't care if these get-togethers were during the day. I just feel resentful having the boundaries between work and home being blurred even further by my job digging into my personal time. Plus, I live in a shared house, and so have to work from my bedroom. Besides, my manager and I agreed I'd work from 8 to 4 every day. I enjoy my job, but it's not the focus of my life. How do I navigate this? I've tried suggesting to my manager that he have these sessions during work hours, but he says the point of the call is for us to socialize and get to know each other better. My colleagues are fine, but they've shown little interest in being friends with me. The calls often include me being silent while they talk about children and product managing. I am not a product manager and am kind of an adjunct to the team. The longer this continues, the more resentful I get. I'm not sure if this is relevant, but I don't drink. And also, I'm the youngest of my team by 15 years, and I'm the only one without children. I'm salaried rather than paid by the hour. We're all in the same time zone.
This seems like a classic case of mixing two problems. It seems like she's concentrating on the drinking as somehow important to this issue. The issue is that he wants you to do mandatory after work things so frequently.
Paul attacks the question asker.
Is that really out there?
Yeah.
Oh, so constructive criticism is attacking now. Adrian,
you're scandalized by the question asker. Yeah, I did think it was weird that they're younger than everybody else, but also salaried. So, like, is everybody else not salaried? Like, are you just a high up position at a really young age?
There can always
be
mixed teams with, like, contractors. And one second, Isabel is blending something.
Oh, one second, Isabel is blending something.
Okay, I think it's done, but she might go for a respin. That's often a part of using the ninja creepy.
I should have done Paul pauses for noise in his house. Did you take a shot of something? I didn't do
it. It was for the one before I hadn't taken it, for the Paul attacks the question asker. Yeah, so I think, like, she's mixing the issue of drinking. This is tough because she posits the idea that, like, it's not truly optional. I feel pressured to do it, but it's like, why do you feel pressured to do it if he's saying it's optional? Like, how much?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to lie, Paul. Let's bring it back to base, right? You have unlimited PTO. Does that mean you have unlimited PTO?
Yeah, I get that.
Corporate
there can
speak
be
is very obvious
pressure,
about, like, yeah.
But ultimately, if you skipped it, would it be something where you're worried, like, oh, they're going to discuss something work-related, I'm going to miss out on an opportunity there? Or are they actually pressuring you? Or are you just worried about a missed opportunity yourself?
That's actually true. Because I joined a lab that I'm co-advised by where they have a weekly lab meeting that's 2 hours. And early in my graduate career, I railed against it and I would not go. And I have not gone in, like, multiple years. And no one's ever said anything about it. No one's ever like, where's Adrian? Why isn't he here? And, like, because I'm co-advised, I get away with it. And yeah, it's because that meeting, no offense, I love you, Andy, that meeting is useless for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well, sometimes the pressure is internal because it's like, I want to continue moving up. But if it's something where you feel like you should be there to get FaceTime so that you can get more projects or get on the right projects, then it really is kind of just like you putting it on yourself. And there's always going to be those things at work. Like, every workplace is going to have people that try to meet up after work and do these things. It sucks, but, like, I don't know that. I don't think there's a way to stop that because you'd be stopping other people from saying, let's do something after work, which
so
is, like, not.
Are
you
essentially saying
you
that it's not a Zoom issue? It's just a work issue? Like, if you were working regular
hours,
what
I'm saying is it's not a drinking issue. That
happen.
Seems completely, like, unimportant to it. Like, bring a, you know, put grape juice in your glass or just bring a thing of water.
Oh, it is way easier to fool people on Zoom. Yeah, you should definitely do that.
Or just don't drink at all. Like, obviously that would be really problematic if they insisted you drink. Like, that's completely unimportant to the issue here. I did
have
a manager.
It's more just they're monopolizing your time, yeah.
I had a manager who did this, but in a way cooler way, because he called it 3 p.m. stand-up, so it was on work time, and during COVID, we would get on our Zoom and just, like, drink a beer at 3 p.m. every day.
You guys would chug a beer at 3 p.m.?
Well, not chug, we weren't shotgunning them, but I did. I mean, some days I would skip because I'd be like, I don't want a beer in my stomach or whatever, but I would still get on the call. But obviously that was during work hours, and it truly felt like there was no pressure.
But this was also the same company where when you went back into the office, you guys had a beer fridge for free or whatever. How did no one take advantage of that in, like, a more serious way?
Kind of what you said. It's not like you could actually go up there and get too drunk. It would be really odd.
Yeah. It's asking for that, though.
It is. It's asking for somebody who quit to spend their 2 weeks' notice just getting drunk.
Just drinking those Charlotte local beers, yeah.
Okay.
Can you not just pretend that your camera's out? Can you not do the Cartman, the pretending that you're frozen to get out of Zoom school or whatever? Just the...
Once again, you probably can. I just wonder... Okay, let's assume he really is putting this pressure on. What are some tips and tricks? You know, the... Putting a picture
pretend
of yourself
your
in front of your camera.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah, doing
oh,
that.
Your putting Wi-Fi googly goes eyes out over... every other Thursday right after work ends.
Putting googly eyes over your closed eyelids while you nap.
Like if you have to do taxes that month, you know, April, just schedule to do it that time and just have your other monitor out on and be working on that while you're on the call.
People can always tell when you're looking at another monitor, though. You always have that like,
Nah, they can't. I'm really skilled.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's also the like side point about not feeling like really in tune with your group. So like it's not fun for you at all. That's the beauty of like other like happy hours, though, right? Like in-person happy hour, you can go there after work, say hello to everybody and just leave. And people will be like, oh, yeah, you were there. That was nice.
Yeah, but I think it's the same problem where if you're trying to get FaceTime because you think something important might be discussed.
Yeah.
You can't really do that.
Yeah.
I guess it's really, rough. It depends on the mechanism of what she's worried about. But, I mean, you could do that with this call. You could always be like, oh, I have to pick up my son from practice. Oh, no, my cat's sick or what, you know.
My grandma's dead. My grandpa's dead. My other grandma's dead.
My husband ordered groceries and he can't make it to the grocery store. I gotta go pick him up or something. Just like you could just always find little excuses to like leave after 10 minutes.
It's a fun creative writing exercise, yeah.
It really depends on what the pressure mechanism is. But I would say test out just not going and seeing what the repercussions are. That would be my first course of action.
Yeah, I mean, that's iffy though, right? Like if it breaks social bonds and then you're stuck in not being in the right social area, that can like make things suck in a way where it's gonna fuck you over. I don't know. That's weird.
There's no way to end this without sounding to try to stop this from happening completely would make you sound insane though. You can't go to your boss and be like, you can't have a social hour, you know, because that's considered normal to have like a team bonding hour or whatever.
Yeah, they would argue that it's actually important for a business to have that, yeah, and you should be a part of it, yeah.
Every other Thursday is a bit much, but it's not so much that it's, like, beyond unreasonable, but it is a lot. Like, I mean, my team has something like this once every other month, not twice a month is a lot.
And what do you guys do? You guys go to, like, a local, like, Mexican restaurant and get some margaritas?
Yeah, I guess we don't do this too much because we really do the beers at work before we head home, and it's on work hours. But
you guys get really fucked up before you go home for the day.
Make sure to take one for the road.
All right. Are you ready for the answer?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Another long answer from the cut. This has become such a thing over the last year since so many teams started working remotely. And like you, a lot of people don't want to spend their evenings making awkward conversation with coworkers over Zoom. Unofficially obligatory work happy hours have always been a thing, of course. They can just feel especially onerous right now when people have a particularly high need to decompress from stress. And socializing on Zoom isn't the same experience as socializing face to face. The constant gaze of the camera, the chaos of too many people trying to talk at once, and the delay from imperfect internet connections often makes the experience more draining than relaxing, and even more so if you've already been dealing with video all day for work. That said, your boss isn't wrong to think that there's some value in finding ways for your team to connect informally. There is value in that. The problem is the way he's doing it, like making people feel obligated to show up and not noticing that you're being excluded from much of the conversation. Implying that you can't possibly have anything else you'd like to do with that time is particularly obnoxious. Oh yeah, we forgot to focus in on that. That is an annoying thing to say. As you point out, just because you're stuck at home doesn't mean you don't have other demands on your time. Even if you didn't, you're still entitled to decide you'd rather veg out on your own than be on for a work call. I bet you'd feel differently about these calls if they were truly optional and presented as an outlet for team members who wanted it, with no penalties, subtle or otherwise, for people who didn't attend. You'd also feel differently if your boss occasionally held these events during the workday, instead. Which he really should if he's convinced there's work value to them, and changed up the format so the conversation wasn't consistently leaving some people out. But there's a long and storied history of managers being oblivious to all of this. My inbox is full of complaints similar to yours from people resentful that their employers expected them to spend non-work time on ostensibly quote-unquote fun activities that they'd rather sit out. So what can you do? One option is that, effective immediately, you say that you have obligations right after work that you can't get out of, whether or not that's actually the case. You don't necessarily need to explain these commitments. What these commitments, or quote-unquote commitments, are, you might be able to just say, oh, I've got something tonight right after work, so I won't be there. Have fun, though. If that doesn't fly with your boss, or if you're starting to feel awkward saying that every time, feel free to explain that you're taking a class that meets then, or have a family Zoom call.
The problem with that is, what if they decide to reschedule? They're like, oh, you're busy on Thursday nights? Oh, we can do it Wednesday nights.
I love that, dude. When everyone forms their schedule around you, and then you're like, oh, I still don't want to go. That's definitely happened with me for like certain organizations where they've been like, oh, Adrian can't attend? Well, then we'll move it to this night. And I'll be like, yeah, I still don't want to go. join a book club or anything else that's credibly conveys, I'm not available then. That said, it's not a bad idea to attend occasionally. You don't need to go every time, but there can be a professional benefit to showing up for, say, every third event. You shouldn't have to, but the reality is that sometimes people do get penalized, subtly or not so subtly, for never showing up. But you might find it easier to bear if you're not stuck attending every single time. Plus, when you show up, you don't need to stay for the full 2.5 hours, and holy hell, that's long for this kind of thing.
That really is. Show up. We didn't concentrate on that. How are these other people not having anything better to go to on their Thursday nights?
They're fucking losers. They're fucking old-ass losers. You can show up, say something at the start, like, I've got to duck out for a bit for a family thing, but I wanted to say hi to everyone, and then leave after 30 minutes. Keep your tone breezy, sound like you're delighted to be there, and then matter-of-factly extract yourself and head off to enjoy your liberation.
Yeah, use
Paul,
the
Zoom. Paul, what's the best fake reason you've used to get out of a Zoom meeting?
Oh, I don't know if I have a good one.
I've definitely said, oh, I have a meeting in 10, so I gotta head off, but I'll see you guys later.
That's your best? That's barely anything.
I never have meetings. Are you kidding me?
I was gonna say, use the Zoom functionality to switch your background to a picture of your house you photoshopped on fire, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta go.
I gotta get out of here. That's pretty good.
The room is filling up with smoke. I gotta go.
Oh, you do that Zoom prank where someone comes in and like with a scream mask and kidnaps you? And everyone's actually concerned for your safety.
That classic Zoom prank.
I think that happened a few times during the pandemic, and that made news a couple times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember those early days when it was like the news would cover when like somebody's kid did something like precocious on the background of a Zoom call during an interview or something? They'd be like, the funniest thing happened to this professor when he was on this Zoom call.
I don't know if Adrian hating on dogs is part of it, but yeah, there was definitely a lot of Zoom meetings where people were like, oh, your dog's in the background? Show us your dog. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was a big one.
God, I fucking hated that. all right, how'd you feel about the answer?
I thought it was good.
It was all right. Yeah, it was all right.
Allison Green's always good.
Okay, so we're not going to knock out Paul attacks the question answerer.
Was that part of it?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Well, now I know for mine not to attack the answerer. I'm just going to have to be weirdly positive if I hate the next answer.
Here's the thing. I have been in a conversation with coworkers where they have called out somebody for lying about being too busy or something like that. I have never heard an actual confrontation about someone lying. I think lying is one of your greatest assets as an adult.
Yeah.
Is being able to be like, oh, I've got to pick up my kid. What asshole is going to call you out for that?
Didn't like, she say she didn't have kids? That's why I tried to come up with the like, oh, there's groceries I need to pick up from the store. Like, you have to come up with something a little different. But
like, who's going to call you out for that?
Nobody.
Exactly. I think that's a big selling point. If it becomes consistent, I get that. Like you having to come up with a new lie every week or whatever.
Which is why the scheduled thing makes sense, but.
Yeah, pick something scheduled.
But at the same time, once again, they can reschedule and then that. You need a 5 nights a week hobby calendar. Monday night is book club. Tuesday night, DSA meeting.
Of course.
Thursday night is dinner club. Friday night is dinner fuck club. You, Friday What's night. That, I got something to do. I can't hang out at this.
Let's get it started. Now I can break into song without any worries. Let's get it started in here. All right, you want to get into your call?
Yeah, let me top off my drink and get
back. Let me top off my drink. All right, Paul, let's get into your article.
Alrighty, this is also a boss-based drinking column.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe we hyper-targeted. I did have another one, but I think this one is funnier, so we'll get into the slate.
Slate. Okay, cool.
The good job, which, is this a new one? Because I don't... Yeah, they're trying to they're trying to get into Allison Green's territory.
Hey, so from,
2025. My boss messes up in the same way at every company event. Then I'm tasked with cleaning up the aftermath. My boss is a high-level executive in our company. In general, he's pretty decent to work with. But at company events where alcohol is involved, he more often than not will get reeling drunk.
Reeling drunk? Is that a local thing?
I guess it makes sense to me.
Just say he gets pissed, mate.
I'm left to manage him and make sure he gets back home to the hotel in one piece. I'm growing fed up with this arrangement, but I don't know how to approach him about getting a handle on his issue. All of the top dogs in the company are aware of it, but look the other way, since he otherwise performs well. Any suggestion?
Babysitter to a drunk boss. Interesting. Well, I guess we should go ahead and do this. How much is alcohol involved in your workplace besides the 3 p.m. stand-up, I guess?
You know, it's funny because, yeah, there's more alcohol available at my latest company, but I definitely got drunker at work events at my first company because they had more, like, after-work, like, paid-for drinking things, like at bars or whatnot.
Wait, really? They just open up a tab and you could do whatever?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I was low level. Nobody had felt the need to take care of me. I was kind of on my own. I wasn't the executive. I didn't have...
Your complaint is that no one took care of you and held your hair back while you threw up in the toilet?
And I had hair back then, man.
Yeah. No, it's a weirdly big part of grad school. I remember one time a student interviewed for our program and asked me, they were like, so I'm getting like a sense that like drinking's a big part of this program. Like, do you agree with that? And I was like, buddy, you chose the wrong person to ask that question.
Were they looking for you to be a comrade to be like, yeah, it's a problem here?
I was like, it's pernicious. It's an issue. We shouldn't be doing this. We're colleagues. No, I was like, well, yeah, it's a part of it. I don't know. You don't have to be a part of it if you don't want to, but.
This person a lot more than your person, they do sound a little judgmental. Like, first off, not your job to take care of him. You can just let him be drunk. He's an adult who's been drunk before. He'll find his way home. Like, you're putting it on yourself that you have to babysit him.
Yeah, but if your boss dies, I don't know what happens to you.
What do you think happens to you if your boss dies? The cops come and they're like, it's always the employee. We always say that's the number one suspect.
It's like a wife and husband. The number one suspect is their... Yeah, I don't know. I think I've never seen any of my bosses drunk before, so I don't know.
I wouldn't feel the need to take care of my boss. I'd be like,
yeah,
they can get themselves
more
home.
Of an adult.
This feels
than
like
I am.
Somebody who's a little bit more of like a, I don't know. There's something about her tone where it's like she's judging him and then taking care of him to judge him.
It feels like an FX show where like you're like the assistant for an actor or something like that. Not like you're
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like this is way more assumed responsibility than you're supposed to have.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I mean, I assume he thinks like, oh, she's so nice. She does this. But it's like, it's not your job if you didn't. It's not like he would be like, how dare she not do this? I mean, maybe. But in that case, you'd have to mention that. But like, it doesn't seem like anybody would hold it against somebody for having their own drinks or for being in a different room at the bar or whatever.
Yeah. Is there anyone in your company who's known as like a functional alcoholic like this? Like that description of like everyone knows they have a problem, but like they get their shit done. So what are you going to do? It's a workplace. We're not going to like hold
an
intervention.
Also, this is after work. So why would the big dogs care that he's getting drunk after work? I mean, unless he's harassing somebody or doing something inappropriate.
They give drug tests at work. They care what you're doing outside of work. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe this is just like different mentality for the places I've worked. I don't think, unless you were around a weird prude, I don't think if you were getting drunk at an after work event, people would clock it too much other than that guy likes to get drunk.
Yeah, I guess so.
There was this thing at my first company where everybody thought it was like funny to mention the people who got like really drunk would be like, oh yeah, that guy, you wouldn't expect it. He's got like 5 kids and he's like really studious. But if you get him at an after work event, he'll put a couple back.
Yeah. Especially if his wife comes pick him up or whatever. Yeah.
So I think people thought it was funny when it went against, like, their personality as, like, a very studious, regular worker, but that it's, like, they become a frat bro at the after-work event.
You know this monk that we work with or whatever? It's crazy, dude. At after-work events, he's going crazy. Yeah. He's one of those Belgian monks who's like, hey, I can't have sex. This is all I have. I'm going to drink all these beers.
Oh, he's having the Tempest. What are they? The Tempest sales? What are the Belgian ales?
Trappist?
Trappist. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Paul gets something factually wrong. I'm going to go ahead and cross that out.
Is that really one of them?
Yeah. this just feels like personal assistant work. I don't really understand why this is your job. I've had a friend in grad school where, like, there were multiple occasions where, like, the night kind of came to a crashing end and I had to help keep someone alive. Where it was like, all right, I guess everything is turning into me being Buzz to me being a caretaker for a little bit and hoping everything goes okay.
Well, maybe that's kind of where this is, where he's getting so drunk that she feels like it'd be a safety issue.
Yeah. I mean, I was never at one of those parties where, like, did you ever hear about, like, high schoolers that we knew or something like that where, like, they got alcohol poisoning over the weekend and that's why they're gone and, like, everyone spreads that rumor or, like, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, maybe there was something going on.
No, I don't remember that happening to anybody. Was it, like, somebody we both knew?
No, there was a kid who I was in my medical terminology class with who I think had that happen to him one weekend, but you always hear their stories and, like, colleges always have those, like, no questions
medical
asked.
Medical terminology would have been college, right?
No, it was high school. It was the tech center.
Who was it?
But Caden, he was the dude who...
Okay, Adrian mentions a random name of somebody from high school.
What the hell? What was I saying? He had one of those stories. But also colleges always have that thing where it's like, here's our no questions asked number if someone has alcohol poisoning.
Yeah, I think, like, there was definitely, I don't know, I would drink to, like, excess, but never felt like I got close to alcohol poisoning. Mm. And there was nights, I don't know, it feels like the high schooler body is just so adept at that. Like,
it's
if I was
so
drinking
nubile
this much.
Yeah.
Adrian uses the word nubile, should have
it
definitely
should be. I've been doing that, like, three
card.
Episodes in a row. I love that word. Yeah, covering for your boss.
I don't know. There's something about the language, but they look the other way since he otherwise performs well. Why wouldn't he perform well in the hours he's sober if he's getting drunk at after work drinking events? Why would that affect his at work performance?
I think some people assume that if you get drunk on a Friday night, it means you get drunk every night.
Yeah.
I think they assume that it means if you're an alcoholic, it means that you're drinking every night into excess. Kind of like a John Mulaney. Like, I used to get blackout every single night. And so, like, it's, I actually had an Ask a Manager question that I didn't bring in, where they went to a conference in the guy's hometown, he went to go visit his friends, and he was out until 5, he went to go do his work, he did great, and the boss is like, oh, how late were you at last night? And he was like, oh, 5 a.m., and they were like, oh, that's not okay, you could have done way better today, and he was like, you said I did a good job today, like, what are you talking about? It's just, you've changed your perception of how I did today based on the fact that I was out last night.
But this is kind of what I was saying about feeling like sometimes when people don't drink that they're very, like, oddly judgmental about it, or if they don't ever drink to excess.
Yeah,
kind of that, where it's like, it seems like this person doesn't drink a lot, so they think because they've seen somebody a little too drunk that it means that they have, to use her language, a reeling problem that affects them throughout the week, where it's like, no, some people just, like, in a situation where everybody is drinking, like, a, you know,
social
an open
anxiety
bar.
If you don't know people, an open bar, you don't know the pores.
There's people who get drunk at that
sometimes
stuff,
it sneaks up on you.
Don't really drink throughout the week.
Sometimes it only happens like every like 6 months when they go to a big event or something like that.
Which is what I think, like, some people's perceptions of alcohol is so negative that they can't even look at it rationally when somebody just binge drinks every now and then.
Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this with Pierce, where we've been on, like cutting back or, like, getting sober or, like, stop drinking subreddits. Where, like, have you ever been just, like, on, like, a no dumb questions subreddit where it's like, hey, every Saturday I have 2 whiskeys, but otherwise I don't drink at all. Does that make me an alcoholic? And every Redditor is like, you're a fucking alcoholic. You can't stop drinking. Try and quit for a full fucking year. And then if you can do that, then you're not an alcoholic. But right now, you're going crazy. And it's like, how does that not promote people just being like, okay, clearly everyone's insane. I can have my 2 whiskeys on Saturday or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I've been told by doctors that any more than 5 drinks a week, which I don't think I do anymore, but like, you know, when I was out of college, like a young adult, I was having more than 5 drinks a week.
If
and I was
you can't
told
that resist
that
having your 5 drinks a week, you're a fucking alcoholic.
Yeah, and it's like the doctor's office told me that that was considered binge drinking, which is a type of alcoholism. And I was like, well, you know what? When you make the boundary that low, it just makes it meaningless. Like, what are you doing at that point?
Yeah,
you know?
I remember I was drinking before dinner with Spencer and Charlie. Mention them. Give me another drink. But Spencer had one of like a one can of a Pilsner, and he was like, oh, that's good for me. I only ever have one drink. And I was like, Spencer, when we go to trivia, you have a pint of the Space Dust, which is like an 8% beer. That's like technically 3 drinks if you break it down to what like a doctor would say a unit of alcohol is. And Spencer's reaction was, oh, no, I'm an alcoholic. I thought that was so funny. Me trying to say, hey, you can have another beer, buddy. Like, you definitely have the limit. He was just like, oh, no, I'm drinking what's technically like 2.5 beers based on like doctor standards. I'm an alcoholic. I just love that so much. I think that's so funny. Also, very alcoholic behavior to know what exactly like a unit that a doctor would assign is. Where were we? What are we talking about?
I don't know. I've been trying to drink my actual drink quickly because I thought a funny part of this episode would be us getting progressively drunker, but I don't feel like I've actually drank that much. So
I think that's kind of every episode to some extent. I don't know. Besides when you started fasting.
Yeah, when I started fasting and dieting, I wasn't drinking during the episodes. And there was a part of me that was like, will this show still be good? It's been like...
Should we break down the one episode that we've cut out because I was too drunk because I came from the Eurospinal? Yeah. What was your... Because obviously I don't remember it. I woke up the next day, listened to my audio, and I was like, we're not releasing this. I was so drunk during this. And it was a guest episode, which I feel very bad about. I feel very bad about Rachel not having her episode. But
she had a really good quiz for us. It was, are these Taylor Swift or Death Grips lyrics?
Real? Oh, so she flipped the script on the Rupee Kaur.
Yeah. It was really good. It was a real shame. You were so plastered. We couldn't get any content from it.
So to preface this story, I was going to the Euro finals. We had our very small block of Italian fans. And I don't know who paid my tab. But anytime I wanted a beer, I could just, and it was extra time. So it was not only an hour and a half game, but an extra like 45 minutes of extra time with the penalties. And so anytime I wanted a beer, I'd just be like, hey, can you get me a beer? And people would like snake me down a beer. And so, yeah, I got super drunk at that. And when I listened to the episode again, I was like,
that drunk, Adrian, I don't think it's a you being too drunk problem. I think you're. Blood sugar gets fucked up because you get like low energy. You get like where what you're saying is like completely nonsensical and you're like tired and you're like, I don't know, man.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Alcohol will do that to you. It spikes you down after spiking you up.
Yeah. So it was more of that. It was like everything you said was just kind of like a weird, like trailing off. Like, I don't even know.
I think the one thing you said was that I was able to read, but not in a way that people read. Is what I think you said.
I don't remember that.
Oh, okay. You were like, you were able to like, you kept putting words that like matched the words in the sentence to give the same meaning, but you weren't giving, like you weren't just reading what was in the article or whatever. You were somehow catching up to like what the meaning was supposed to be and putting the words in there.
But yeah, sorry to Rachel for that one. That was an awesome segment, but
I love you.
It's lost media.
Great. I still love your Taylor Swift episode. It's still one of my favorites. I still listen to it every now and then.
All right. I'm going to take another shot just because I do want to at least do the third segment a little drunk.
Oh, Paul takes an extra shot for no reason.
How about this? Do you ever get feedback from people that, I guess to me, it's obvious when you're really, really drunk because like I said, that diabetes, low blood sugar thing. A lot of people tell me, I'll be like, oh, I'm a little fuzzy on what happened or, oh, I was so drunk. Yeah, and then, like, I did not realize you were that drunk at all.
Yeah, anxiety? Yeah.
No. I'm saying, like, do you ever get the feedback that other people didn't perceive your drunkenness?
Oh. No. Actually, yeah. That might be something similar to you and me, is that I get the comment very often of, like, if I end up blacking out one night, people are like, you were completely fine and completely normal in the way that I know you, and then it was... There was no, like, progression. There was no, like... You started slurring your words or started doing this. It was just And that's why I stopped doing that, is I was like, nah, not a fan of that.
All right, do we want to get to the answer here?
Yeah, what you got for your boss?
You should be getting hazard pay for this job. It was generous of you to help your boss get home safe for the first time or two, and I thank you for making sure he doesn't hit drive drunk. But it has turned into a regular problem, and it should not be yours to solve. Start by going to your human resources department. They may have gotten previous complaints about your boss's drinking problem. Adding details of his latest reckless behavior might help escalate the issue and make it more difficult for the top dogs to ignore it than deal with it. Your company probably has policies prohibiting drunkenness at work events, and they should have employee assistance program resource for counseling or medical leave so he can get sober or at least manage his drinking. This is making me feel like an alcoholic, that it's so different than our advice. You didn't mention how your boss treats you after one of his benders. If he thanks you or makes a joke about overindulging, and if you trust the guy, you can use that opening to ask him what he expects from you during these events. Does he consider it your responsibility to get him home safely? He might not realize or remember that you had to babysit him. Asking him while he's sober about how to handle him when he's drunk might help him understand that his drinking is a problem. That's probably the best case scenario, though. Realistically, he may be ashamed, defensive, or in denial and unwilling to talk about it. Or he may think that getting a rip-roaring drunk with colleagues is good for team building. If he won't stop drinking at team events and none of the higher-ups will step in to handle this, you could suggest he hire a chauffeur to get him to and from the venue so you don't have to stay until he staggers home. Wow, the second paragraph was so much more reasonable than the first paragraph where she was like, get him fired.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, at that point, it's like a, I don't know, we're getting back into what I think was a cutout conversation about how people who don't drink don't always have the best analysis of someone being a dangerous drunk versus a regular drunk, but yeah, I don't know.
The first paragraph felt so aggressive to me, like, get human resources, he has a problem and needs to go to AA, versus, like, the second paragraph that was like, how make you sure should handle it, which is like, set some boundaries around you having to babysit him and make it not your problem anymore.
For this specific question, I think that is obviously the answer. Is you don't have to make his problem your problem. You can, you can chill.
All right, Adrian, do you want to get into the third segment?
Yeah. Did we get a bingo? Did you get a bingo?
Yeah, I did earlier in the ep.
Damn.
I got a bingo on my diagonal.
Damn. I did not place mine as well as I should have. Do you want to go through your board?
Yeah, so I got a bingo on Adrian breaks out into song.
What do you mean? La 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 la.
We have to cut that. The free space. A reference to Pierce, Nicole, Spencer, Pinnock, Marshall, or Charlie.
That's such BS. I could have got one for Rachel if I'd just done anyone who's your friend.
In an attempt to cancel me or make something I said offensive.
Hmm. Okay.
The rest of my board, one of them was reminiscing about a meal or dish that you once had.
I do love a dish.
A reference to the three or more PlayStations. I do feel like there's some inflation on the number of PlayStations I've had over time.
Okay. PS5s.
Adrian makes the show nasty, even though we're not that type of show.
Paul says the convo is too gross for the pod. I have that one.
That would have been a nice double get for us.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Adrian likens one of my meta squares to a Yu-Gi-Oh! Trap card. Adrian does another comedian's bit.
That I was thinking about that earlier. Yeah.
Adrian has a horror film or horror manga in his media roundup.
Not today, motherfucker.
Adrian corrects Paul's misreading of a column.
Oh, I thought about doing that for you, which we didn't do this time. Yeah.
Adrian tricks Paul into doing one of his squares. Adrian mentions Dropout or Game Changers.
I don't even watch Game Changers. You do.
Adrian calls me out for trying to trick him into doing one of my squares.
Okay. Didn't do that.
Adrian's middling on a movie or album during Media Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
This one is both of us, but I was wondering if you would do it. We add an NB qualifier to a gendered statement.
That's good. I like that.
Adrian talks about or references battle rap.
Ooh, did I do that this time? I didn't. No.
A joke about leftist politics along the lines of, like, saying the word atomization, like Slavoj Žižek.
You're so atomized.
So those are the ones that you didn't get. And I could go over the ones you did get as well, but
Oh, yeah, we should probably start that way. So what did I get?
Okay, so I already mentioned the ones you got bingo on, but the other ones were Adrian calls foul or copes with hitting one of my squares.
Okay, true.
Something on Adrian's board feels like a personal attack on me.
Okay, true.
Dorley, Nando, or parents are mentioned.
Yeah, one of the people I love are mentioned in a podcast about my life.
Thor or one of the other cats are mentioned.
Thor or one of the other cats. There's one more cat, and that's the one that I mentioned. I revoked that one. I don't like that one.
Random name of someone we went to high school with is mentioned.
You really fished and for that one. I hate that one.
Didn't I tell that story?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so the ones that you got for me, and we'll discuss it afterwards, but Paul attacks the question asker. Paul repeats the same thing three times or more. Paul posts an episode without Adrian's sign-off. Free space. Paul gets something factually wrong. Cut it, as a quote. Paul needs Adrian to tell him what or who he's thinking of. Do you want to hear the others?
Yes.
All right. To be fair, the first one I'll say is Paul takes more than 30 seconds to say something simple, and that would have given me the bingo on the middle.
I didn't do that this episode. Crazy.
That's what I was saying is that, like, I was being very generous about how much time I was giving you to be like, I don't want this to feel like I'm cheating, so I'm not gonna like call you out if you take like 10 seconds to say something. The other spaces are Paul tells a story he's already told. Paul accuses Adrian of racism or sexism.
So we both had to cancel each other bit on there.
Big sniff. I had big sniff on there, but you're not sniffly today. You're doing good. Paul mispronounces a name.
What are you talking about? Chelsea Peretti?
I have quote unquote all of the suddenly. All of the suddenly, which I think you knew that was coming, so you knew that not to say that. Paul shuts down a convo for not being interesting enough. Paul asks a question that is covered in the article question. Paul comments on the TV, which normally if I have the TV on in the background, you comment on it. Paul purposely misunderstands something Adrian said. Paul interrupts Adrian for a joke that isn't worth it. Paul interrupts Adrian for a joke that is worth it. Paul misgenders somebody. Paul mishears something based on the first letter of the word. Ed Sheeran, in quotes. Paul attacks the question answerer.
Wait, so mispronouncing a name and Ed Sheeran are two separate ones?
That's a very specific one. I should have said Shape of You at some point. Paul says the convo is too gross for the pod. Yeah, that was. I mean, I came up with mine like 15 minutes before the episode, but I think they were good guesses for the most part.
Adrian, salud. We'll do one more
just to end it. So we're doing a big facts, no cap about alcohol. About that good cushion alcohol. Do you have a hangover cure that you're a fan of? Should I know for tomorrow?
I mean, the best hangover cure is drinking enough water the night before, you know?
Is that true? Are you like a chug water before bed type alcoholic? Or
Yeah, that's definitely the best way to stop myself from having a hangover.
You're not doing like a one drink every drink? You're doing like a I get home and I just chug water? I did that like freshman year. Okay, yeah, interesting, yeah.
It really works. I don't know. That does it for me.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. I remember having a conversation with a battle rapper once where he was like, and don't put it on your square, we're already done. But he was like, well, you got to drink vodka because it's the sugar that actually fucks you up in alcohol. It's not the alcohol. And I was like, brother, I'm pretty sure it's the alcohol.
That stuff is all really stupid where it's like, oh, drink clear liquors. Yeah. It's like, that's not going to matter. You're out of, I don't know.
It's about excess. It's not about the, yeah. All right, big facts, no cap. Let's wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you have any meta comments on my squares? I think your squares were good. You could have put something about me being a PhD or animal behavior or grad student on there. Could have said something about me being Guatemalan.
I was thinking of that,
but
it felt like so nebulous. I guess it maybe felt to you how you were talking about the one where I had about you mentioning your family or mentioning your friends.
Yeah.
Where it felt like a little too broad, where I was like, is that fair? Like, that's just every, you know.
But you said family and friends were fine. You know, what are you going to do? That's Adrian. that's very specific to Adrian's life.
You didn't have, like, mentions an Izzy story. I feel like I do that frequently.
Not really. I should have done, like, mentioning Izzy real time. That would have been, like, a very, like, podcast thing. Is you complaining about Izzy being too loud or, like, opening the door to ask you something or something.
I mean, a couple of mine were ones that we both do, like the NB qualifier to a gendered statement or the reminiscing about a meal or dish was definitely like, I was like, man, I could see myself doing it. So there's a 50% chance I'll take it before he has a chance to. And then I did in my mind, it's not like we set up rules for this, but I was like, if I bring something up, I can't call Adrian out for it immediately after unless it comes up later.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. I'm really surprised you didn't tell a story that you already told. But other than that.
That is funny that that was on both of ours.
I could have also just been grosser. Yeah, I could have just been more gross. And then we would have gotten to the, Paul says this is too gross for the podcast. I could have talked about Ed Sheeran some more.
Why do I have that? Like, I know how you pronounce Chelsea. Why do I pronounce her name Chelsea? What is going on in my mind?
I'm not your therapist or your speech therapist, brother. I'm just your friend. Cool. Big fact, no cap. Yeah.
Big fact. Never lie, cheat, or drink. But if you must lie, lie in the arms of the one you love. If you must steal, steal away from bad company. And if you must cheat, cheat death. And if you must drink, drink in the moments that take your breath away.
My no cap is rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky. Rain is a good thing.
Where was yours from? Because mine was from the hit movie Hitch, starring Will Smith.
Nice. Mine was from a country song called Rain Makes Corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky.
Take a drink. Adrian breaks out into song. Bye.
Bye.